The centipedes, plural, hell's bells, I needed to stop being so arrogant, rose up onto their rearmost limbs, trying to bridge the wall in a living arch. But they recoiled from the flames, even more violently than when I'd slammed the original head with a cannonball of fire.
"Hey, neat working," Bob said. "The soul fire's a nice touch."
The effort of managing that much energy caught up to me in a rush, and I found myself gasping and sweating.
"Yeah," I said. "Thanks."
"Of course, now we're trapped," Bob noted. "And that wall is going to run out of juice soon. You can keep chopping them up for a while, then they'll eat you."
"Nah," I said, panting. "We're in this together. We'll both get eaten."
"Ah," Bob said. "You'd better open a way back to Chicago, then."
"Back to my apartment?" I demanded. "The FBI is there just waiting to slap cuffs onto me."
"Then I guess you shouldn't have become a terrorist, Harry."
"Hey, I never..." Bob raised his voice and shouted toward the centipedes.
"I'm not with him!"
None of my options were good ones. Getting eaten by a supernaturally resilient centipede demon would be an impediment to my rescue effort. Getting locked up by the FBI wouldn't be much better. But at least with the feds putting me in a cell, I'd have a chance to walk out of it, unlike the centipede's stomach. Stomachs. But I couldn't walk back into my apartment with a bag full of no-nos. I'd have to hide them before I got there, and that meant leaving the bag here. That wasn't exactly a brilliant idea, but I didn't have much in the way of a choice. I would have to take whatever precautions I could to hide the bag and hope that they were enough. Earth magic isn't my forte. It is an extremely demanding discipline, physically speaking. You are, after all, talking about an awful lot of weight being moved around. Using magic doesn't mean you get to ignore physics. The energy for creating heat or motion comes from a different source, but it still has to interact with reality along the same lines as any other kind of energy. That means that affecting tons of Earth takes an enormous amount of energy. And it's damn difficult, but not impossible. Ebenezer had insisted that I learn at least one very useful, if enormously taxing, spell with Earth magic. It would be an effort of an entire day to use it in the real world, but here, in the Never Never... I lifted my staff, pointed it at the ground before me, and intoned in a deep, heavy monotone,
"Dispertius."
I unleashed my will as I did, though I was already winded, and the earth and stone beneath my feet cracked open, a black gap opening like a stony mouth a few inches in front of my toes.
"Oh, no, no," Bob said. "You are not going to put me in..."
It was an enormous effort to my swiftly tiring body, but I pitched the bag, with the swords, Bob and all, into the hole. It vanished into the dark, along with Bob's scream of,
"You'd better come back!"
The furious hissing of the enraged centipedes sliced through the air. I pointed my staff at the hole again and intoned,
"Resarcios."
More of my strength flooded out of me, and as quickly as that, the hole mended itself again, with the earth and stone that the bag and its contents displaced being dispersed into a wide area, resulting in little more than a very slight and difficult-to-see hump in the ground. The spell would make retrieval of the gear difficult for anyone who didn't know exactly where it was, and I had put it deep enough to hide it from anyone who wasn't specifically looking for it. I hoped. Bob and the swords were as safe as it was possible for me to make them, under the circumstances, and my wall of silver fire was steadily dwindling. It was time to get going while I still could. My legs were shaking with fatigue, and I leaned hard on my staff to keep from falling over. I needed one more effort of will to escape this prettily landscaped death trap. And after that... The ring of fire had fallen low enough that one of the centipedes arched up into the air, forming a bridge of its own body, and flowed over it and onto the ground outside. Its multifaceted eyes fixed upon me, and its jaws clashed in hungry anticipation. I turned away, focused my thoughts and will, and with a slashing motion of my hand, cut a tiny slice into the air, opening a narrow doorway, a mere crack between the Never Never and reality. Then I threw myself at it. I had never gone through such a narrow opening before. I felt as if it were smashing me flat in some kind of spiritual trash compactor.
It hurt. An instant of such savage agony that it seemed to stretch out into an hour, all while my thoughts were compressed into a single, impossibly dense hole. A psychic black hole where every dark and leaden emotion I'd ever felt seemed to suffuse and poison every thought and memory, adding an overwhelming heartache to the physical torment. The instant passed, and I was through the narrow opening. I sensed a fraction of a second in which the centipede tried to follow, but the slit I'd opened between worlds had healed itself almost instantaneously. I tumbled through about 3 feet of empty air, banged my hip on the side of the work table in my lab, and hit the concrete floor like a sack of exhausted bricks. People started shouting, and someone piled onto me, rolling me onto my chest and planting a knee in my spine as they hauled my arms around behind my back. There was a bunch of chatter to which I paid no heed. I hurt too much and was too damn tired to care. Honestly, the only thought in my mind at the time was a sense of great relief at being arrested. Now I could kick back and relax in a nice pair of handcuffs, or maybe a straitjacket, depending on how things went.